we do something, by 2050, there will be more plastic than fish in our oceans. Plastic is everywhere, in the water, in the food we eat, in the air we breathe.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Colors of Web3 and Entrepreneurship. My name is Lam, your Web3 host. Today, we're still in the Web3 world. For those of you who are new to the show, Colors of Web3 and Entrepreneurship is a show highlighting the journeys of builders and innovators in Web3 and entrepreneurship. Some topics, especially in Web3, may get technical, but we do keep our best to keep it accessible for most people. So here I am today with Khut Zami. She is the founder of My Ocean Twin. Khut, can you give a quick introduction about yourself and your company?
Sure. Thank you so much, Lam, for having me here. So my name is Reuud Zamir. I'm an ocean impact entrepreneur and climate change researcher and the founder of My Ocean Twin, which harness the power of Web3 and the metaverse to create a sustainable impact for the ocean.
Okay, so you said you are a climate change researcher. What can you tell us and what does that mean?
So when I talk about climate change, I'm talking about the altering in the natural climate of Earth as a result of human activities, such as burning fossil fuels, which increase greenhouse gas concentration in Earth's atmosphere. And this is causing extreme climate events all over the world, and it has many other severe implications, such as temperature rise and sea level rise and the extinction of habitats and animal species. So basically, we're heading towards the sixth mass extinctions of life on Earth, thanks to our activities, thanks to to climate change, and also thanks to the overuse of plastic. So this is serious. So this is where I'm focused on.
It sounds quite bad, yeah.
It is that. But I chose to focus on the marine environment. It has a lot of implications around the marine environment, specifically marine debris and plastic waste.
I see. When you said like six mass extinction, when was the last time this happened? Was this like in millions of years ago? When was the last mass extinction that happened?
Yes. Millions of years ago, we're a power, we're a force of a power of nature, force of nature. What we're doing to this earth, yes, we are causing a lot of damage, and we are reaching a point. We actually already reached a point where there isn't much we can do. So something has to be done immediately. And I'll mention it again in a few minutes, but unless we do something by 2050, there will be more plastic than fish in our oceans. Plastic is everywhere, in the water, in the food we eat, in the air we breathe. So yeah, something has to be done.
I see. That's quite bad. Yeah, that's not a good statistic to have when you have more plastics and fish. Yeah, suddenly we want to eat more fish, not more plastics. So how did you get involved in this climate change in the first place? Was this like out of your, because of your education?
Well, since I was a child, I was always curious about nature. I liked to watch documentaries, and I felt that I'm always worried, I'm always concerned about the future of our planet. It chose me. I didn't choose it. It felt like it chose me. So I've decided that the way to deal with it is just to go and learn about it and make research. So my bachelor's is in geophysics and planetary science, and my master's is in environmental science. Where I focused on the effect of climate change in the marine environment. And during my research period, I realized that my worries are even worse than the situation is even worse than what I've imagined. I could just see the rapid change in front of my eyes. the coral bleaching, the death of animal species. And so I realized that this is going to be my life's mission to create a sustainable impact for the ocean.
I see. So I think many people in the scientific space, also in Web3 entrepreneurship or in many other areas, are already quite well aware about the global warming and just the fact the Earth is heating up, right, years after years due to carbon dioxide release and a bunch of other factors that contributing to global warming. But I'm quite curious, exactly. What's the impact of global warming as the Earth heating up? What's the impact on the marine life? What's the impact on the ocean?
So there are a few implications. First, like I said, the temperature, the high temperatures are going are causing coral bleaching, and also the ocean holds inside a lot of carbon dioxide, and when it's heating up, it's all coming out of the water, and that's a greenhouse gas and causing those extreme events that I've mentioned before. And also, there are many species that are unable to deal with the temperatures, the high temperatures of the water. Let's not forget the icebergs, that when they're heating up, they're melting, and then the sea level is rising. And some areas in the world are already under the water. So that's a big concern. So these are just a few implications of an effect that climate change has on the water.
Okay, I see. Yeah, that sounds quite a grave danger for many. how did you get started in the Web3 space? So tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, so my journey started long before Web3, as I've mentioned now, where I was looking for creative and innovative solutions for ocean conservation. And Web3 just fits right in. It has a lot of potential. With Web3, we can create financial incentives. There are also fun and engaging ways to create a positive impact with the metaverse, for example. And also, we can gamify fundraising, like what we're doing in my Ocean Twin, which I'll tell you about very soon.
I see. Yeah. Okay, I think it makes sense. Yeah, without further ado, talk about your current company, My Ocean Twin. Feel free to share a presentation or screen or whatever you may have.
Okay. Yes, I'm sharing. Sure. So with My Ocean Twin, we give the opportunity to save the ocean one piece at a time. Our mission is to clean the ocean from marine debris and plastic waste. So, as I've mentioned before, unless we do something, by 2050, there will be more plastic than fish in our oceans. And we are driving towards the sixth mass extinction of life on Earth. There are many organizations dedicated to prevent, educate, and physically clean the ocean from plastic waste. But the problem is that most of them lack the resources they need in order to do so. So where can you find these resources? So these two belong to the same generation. One is desperate for funds, and the other is spending millions of dollars on virtual real estate and digital assets. So we want to combine these two worlds together with My Ocean Twin. My Ocean Twin is a digital twin of the ocean. It's a community platform where you can buy a piece of the ocean and by that help to save it. By buying a piece of the ocean, this virtual piece of the ocean, which represents a real geographic location, we use the revenues and we give them to those organizations. Each plot is minted in the blockchain, and as I said, it represents a real geographic location, and it's also connected to a real cleanup operation. And the plot will change according to the cleaning efforts. At the beginning, it will be full of plastic, but later it will change. And then the animals might come back, and you can share it on social media. You can trade it or even send it as a gift. So we're focusing on Generation Z. It's a young, new donor demographic that's growing fast. Most of them are already living in a metaverse. They control the metaverse. and they're very environmentally conscious and a buying power of trillions of dollars. And just to emphasize the size of the market, according to a recent McKinsey report, by 2030, the metaverse market could reach $5 trillion. And this is a huge opportunity for oceans. In the future, every plot will be a part of the Oceanverse, where you can actually dive into a piece of ocean using VR glasses or play a game, and just be a part of the cleaning process. You can build a house, you can play, you can buy any digital assets you want, you can buy cleaning services, you can invite people to your aquarium. I want to show you a video, a simulation of a plot. So, can you see the video?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, great. So this is an example of an ocean plot near the coast of Thailand. So this plot was purchased 2 years ago. It still has plastic in it, but it's much cleaner than when it was purchased. So now animals are coming back. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to create an emotional connection that will make sure that the users will take care of their ocean plot, and their donation won't be just a one-time event. So I'm going to stop the video now. And yes.
Okay, I see. I see that user can buy a plot of land and then begin to take care of that. But how do you actually link the NFT purchase part to the actual real life operation of ocean cleaning?
So once you purchase an ocean plot, you will receive a certification from the relevant organization with a promise for future updates regarding the cleaning progression. And the NFT, it's a smart contract. And this is a way to verify that the donation is going directly to ocean conservation. And that's what's so beautiful about the Web3 and the NFT, that it's a secure and a transparent way for any money transaction. And in our case, to prove that the money is going directly to ocean conservation and to support the ocean plot that was purchased. So I hope I answered your question.
Yeah. Okay.
So the plots are represented a real geographic location. So you might buy a virtual plot, but you invest in a real world ocean piece.
Is this like a global operation? What's the name? Global. What was the name of the cleanup organization again?
Oh, there are many cleanup organizations. There are the Ocean Cleanup. There are many organizations around the world. We're going to work with international organizations all over the world, specifically in the hotspots, in the areas that has a lot of plastic. There are the Five Patches. There are some areas with plastic along the shore. So we're going to choose at the beginning a few locations, and hopefully in the future we're going to spread to all the hotspots with the plastic and the marine debris.
Okay, how big is a plot of ocean? I guess an ocean, yeah, plot of land. It's not land, but plot of ocean. How big is a plot of ocean cover? Maybe in nautical miles or whatever units you measure.
So if it's a plot deep in the ocean, it's gonna be a square kilometer, but it depends where, because we believe that there are plots that are more appealing than others, so they might be smaller and might cost more. But again, it's all about getting revenues for these organizations. So the size will change, the price will change. And by the way, people can buy more than one plot. They can buy a few. And also, I forgot to mention that while choosing the plot, while just pressing a plot in our grid, you can see all the relevant information regarding this specific plot, the organizations that are connected to this plot, the habitat represents this area, maybe the source of plastic. So you can have a smart choice. You can have a smart decision. and you can have all the tools you need in order to decide where you want to invest and which area you'd like to keep.
Okay. Yeah, I think that makes sense. I'm very curious. Like, how does the how does one know whether which plot has the pollution, or they just buy it because they like that area plot? Maybe let's say it was like by the coast of Thailand, for example.
Well, that's a very good question, because I believe that some people might buy the plots that are close to their house, the plots that they have emotional connection to, the areas that they like to visit, even though they won't be the most, they have maybe even if they won't have many plastic and marine debris in them. But we're going to make sure that there will be an updated data, and the simulation, the oceanverse that we're building, will represent the reality as much as possible. So we're going to use research. We're working with the academics, and so, like I said, if you know all the relevant information regarding the plots, then it can help you decide which one you want to buy, and maybe you won't buy the one that is close to your house or the one that you know. Maybe you'll choose to invest in a plot that is really needed to be cleaned and supported.
I see. So I guess user probably wouldn't be able to, I mean, it's not like you're going to be able to visualize directly how much pollution there is in the ocean, right? I figure because ocean is actually always constantly moving, kind of a bit different to land, so I guess, and if you have plastic, it will also be floating and just floating away, yeah, time after time, right? So they don't actually stay in one area, so I guess that might be one of the challenge, right? How to represent. But I think maybe the big patches that you mentioned where there's a lot of plastic, then it probably will stay constant for some reason. I think they just gather around. But anyway, I'm quite curious about
I'll just say that what's important is to take the plastic out. So if it's in one spot or another, it all affects a bigger area, and this is important. I mean, so even though you took out plastic from one part, and another plastic is coming in, it doesn't matter. What's matter is that we're taking out as much as plastic as possible. So yeah, it's a good question. Many people ask it. I mean, yeah, plastic is floating, although there are a lot of plastic deep in the ocean, maybe more than the plastic that actually floats. But again, it depends where, because in different geographic locations, the behavior is the movement is different, and yeah, and the concentrations and the locations. Yeah.
Okay. Makes sense. And then, let's talk maybe a bit of science here. How do these organizations actually do ocean cleanup?
So, if it's the plastic that floats, so they're coming with massive ships and boats, and that's a very, very expensive process. Many people probably know the Ocean Cleanup. It's a very famous organization which is doing amazing operations deep in the ocean, in the five big patches. I don't know if people know, but most of the plastic is actually coming from rivers. So let's say, for example, the Sitam River in Indonesia, that's another hotspot. So there are ways to come and physically collect the ocean from the river in order to prevent it from reaching the ocean. So that's organizations are also doing that. Some organizations are collecting plastic from the shore because it's another source of marine debris. So there are different organizations. There are also organizations, for example, in my area where I live, that they are doing cleaning diving. So they dive in and they collect the plastic from the bottom, because in this area, most of the plastic is actually sinking down. So as you can imagine, these are super expensive operations, and you need a lot of people, you need a lot of machinery, and that's why these organizations desperately need funding, because most of them, they don't survive. I mean, they have a lot of motivation, and they can do so much work, great work. Especially it's people that care so much for the environment. So we really need and we want to help them, and this is what we're going to do.
I see. So you mentioned like diving and maybe sending people. I feel like sending people diving, picking up is very, it's not very efficient, or maybe not really fast per se. Is there like something equivalent to the vacuum cleaner, you know, like vacuum cleaner at the house where you vacuum the trash, and then on the ocean you just vacuum out the plastic? Is there such a thing? When you mention machinery, what sort of machine are you talking about? What do they do for the cleaner?
So actually there are new technologies, there are machines that can clean the bottom of the ocean. They're under development, and they have to be connected to drones. Like, it's very complicated, the whole process of cleaning the ocean. Like, the drone can tell the machine where to go, and
as these underwater drones.
The drones are up there, but they
can see down on the ocean.
They can see also the floating plastic, but the drone also, but there's another drone that can help the underwater machine to clean the bottom of the ocean. So I hope I'm right about it, because it's such a new technology, which is amazing. And there are many other sensors that can help clean plastic. But again, it's all under development. Not popular, but what people are using now, it's just ships and boats that are in the ocean. They're collecting the plastic with big nets, and that's it. As simple as that.
It's like fishing.
It's like fishing, basically. Yeah, fishing plastic. Perfect. Just like you said, fishing plastic. And there's a lot of plastic.
More than fish. I see. Okay. Maybe I was imagining something for the vacuum cleaning, but maybe if there's some vacuum cleaning, that'll be, I don't know. Is fishing really an efficient way, you think? With nets?
Sorry?
Is that an efficient way? Fishing with nets, is that an efficient way to clean up the ocean?
Because right now, it's the most efficient way now. The net is actually, the boat is moving, and the net is just, you know, dragged on the water, and it's collecting all the plastic that floats. So you can imagine it's much easier to do this. But as you said before, cleaning the bottom of the ocean, that's the real challenge. I mean, that's a lot of work, and we can't drag anything on the bottom of the ocean because we don't want to hurt the habitat over there, or the corals or the. So yeah, so deep in the ocean, that's a huge challenge. But on surface, we use huge nets and collect. I actually recommend to watch the ocean cleanup video. It's unbelievable. It's beautiful. What they're doing is unbelievable and very efficient.
Okay, is it available on YouTube?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Okay, I'll put the link down in the description here for the viewers who may be interested in watching later on. Interesting. Okay, so anyway, going back to your companies, you guys are basically trying to clean up the ocean by doing kind of a one-to-one. It's not really one-to-one, but I guess like equivalent.
Gamify
fundraising. Okay, yes. I think it probably fit into the trend of DeSci or decentralized science, I feel like, because I think right now science, a lot of science projects, right, or science area, scientific area need funding, but it's very hard for them to get funding. And I think Web3 have that promise, right? And then they can fundraise through some Web3 mechanisms, such as selling NFT, like the way you do, or maybe fundraising for a token or whatever. So I think longevity is one area. But anyway, I think this ocean cleanup for sure is one exciting area. So going back to your company, what's the technology that you use to build this virtual ocean, virtual land?
So at the beginning, I'm going to use an existing platform called Roblox. So as I mentioned before, when buying a virtual plot, you'll be able to dive in the plot and to our Oceanverse, which is a parallel world. It's a metaverse. And we're going to use Roblox. Roblox, it's a metaverse platform which has thousands of games. And in this way, we're going to reach and build our community and reach a broader audience. So this is going to be, at the beginning, we're going to use Roblox. But in the future, we're going to build our own Oceanverse using Unreal Engine. Unreal Engine is used also to build many famous virtual worlds like Fortnite and Minecraft. But as a start, and now we're under the development and in the MVP stage, now we're building the game in Roblox to start going, to, like I said, to build our community. Yes, this we're going to use.
Okay, I see. Do you know what... So Roblox, I think, I guess, is like something similar to the platform, and the Unreal Engine is the language you use. Do you know what blockchain you will most likely deploy this on?
Sorry, can you ask again?
Do you know which blockchain you would most likely deploy this on for the NFT?
So I think we're going to use it, hopefully we're going to use it in Ethereum, but not now. In the future, we're going to use Ethereum 2.0, which is supposed to be more sustainable. But for now, we're not going to use the blockchain currency just at the beginning. But later on, we're going to definitely use Ethereum 2.0.
Okay, so right now,
did I understand the question?
So right now, there's no okay. But if you don't use a blockchain, there's a fundraising still happening. Do people just pay
with
credit card or something?
Exactly. Yeah. To make it more, I think that there's some some people might be a bit afraid or they don't know how to use they don't have to have a wallet yet. So we're gonna slowly take them into that. We're gonna slowly help them use the blockchain. Because not all age groups, you know, like I said, we're mostly focusing on Generation Z. They're more familiar with blockchain and NFTs. So at the beginning, we're going to use normal payment, and then later on, we're going to use blockchain currency.
Okay, I see.
Yes, that's the plan.
What phase of the project are you in right now, would you say?
We're under development. Yes, exactly. And in the development, we're building our game, our first game in Roblox, and also slowly building our platform. It's going to be a website, a platform where you can go inside. It's going to look a little bit like Google Maps, like we showed you, a grid where you can choose your ocean plot. But yeah, under development now.
When do you expect to release this?
Hopefully within a year.
Okay.
No, but the game will be so much sooner. I'm talking about the platform where people will be able to actually buy a virtual plot within a year.
Okay. So the game will be released sooner so people can just sign up to play?
Yes. So much sooner. It's going to be free. Anyone can enter. And remember that when you buy any digital asset, you're creating a positive impact. I like the idea that there's so many people in the gaming world, in the metaverse, and they have the ability now, they have the opportunity to create a positive impact. Well, they're already there, so let's make something good out of it. Make them care about the environment, make them help the environment, and while doing this, they can enjoy and play the game.
Okay, great. Yeah, I think in the maybe ocean conservation and ocean cleanup, well, there's probably already a few community that's already big on this. So I guess you can probably leverage those community to grow your effort, right?
Yeah.
I think for the gamer side, so I don't really know whether, like, what aspect of gameplay would there be in this world? Do people, can players move around, swim with the turtle, or what do they do? Is it like, maybe for those who are not familiar with the Roblox, you can explain a bit more?
Yeah, so in Roblox, there are different games. Yeah, there are games that you can just walk around, drink coffee, buy a nice outfit, drive a fancy car. Yeah, but we're thinking to create games that are relevant for the situation, the real situation in the area. So depending on the problem of the area, this is how we're going to build the game. So whether it's the Sitam River in Indonesia or the patches in the middle of the ocean, so each area will have a game that is relevant for the problem. We promise to make it fun. We won't make you just swim and collect plastic. It won't be boring. It will be super fun. But it's also there's an educational part in this. So
I think swim and collect plastic is fun too. Actually, I don't see anything bad with that. You can
You
mentioned gamify, right? You mentioned gamify.
Yes.
Maybe you can do something like, again, I'm not the one building the platform, but I was thinking gamify, you can give people experience, right, for that, and maybe sometime in the future, the experience can be used to level up the character and maybe do something with the reward system. That's up to you to decide. But I feel like it's not really a bad thing at all. Yeah. So I think tie in the education, encourage people to actually clean up the ocean more. So I see that as a good thing, the gamification aspect of it. So
yes.
Maybe you
Thank
can
you.
Get points for picking up plastic, get points for get experience for maybe interacting with a turtle. Maybe
exactly,
they never
yeah.
seen a turtle in real life, right? Yeah.
You just remind me that there are some people or communities that are not familiar with the situation at all. Maybe they don't live near the ocean. They live far away. But they also have an effect on the ocean. So it's an opportunity for us to bring them to this area which they don't know enough about. We have some educational programs that we're thinking of with schools and museums and really let people experience the ocean.
Cool, that's great to hear. Yeah, so really looking forward to this new game and this virtual reality that you're building.
<Me too.
laughs> Anyway, what's the what are some of the challenges facing your project at the moment?
So my Ocean Win integrates so many aspects, fundraising, ocean conservation, real life cleanup, real life data, gamification, and to integrate all that into a cohesive platform, that's a big challenge. So that's the first challenge. And, you know, we touched the blockchain currency. And so regarding Web3, there's another challenge. And I think there are some misconceptions regarding Web3. And some people may be afraid or a bit skeptical. And so it's another challenge to make it intuitive, to make it user-friendly for all group ages, to make people understand the huge potential that Web3 has and what we can do with Web3 to create a positive impact. So, yeah, this is our challenges for now.
I see. Cool. Anyway, like I said. Just two more questions from my side here. I think one is that, do you have any advice for people in real life, right, who actually want to help with the ocean cleanup efforts in real life?
Wow, so much. Where can I start? First of all, try to avoid using so much plastic. I know it's hard. I know it's everywhere we see. Or maybe try to use a plastic replacement or... And definitely don't throw your plastic away in the ocean or on the coast. Join our platform when it's ready. play our game, maybe join some ocean cleanup operations in your area. Yes, there's a lot to do. I can give you, you know, I can give you a very small example of what I'm doing, and I feel good about it, even though it sounds small. But I always go around with my personal cup, and I love drinking coffee. I drink coffee like 4 times a day. So every time I go to my favorite coffee place, it just give, you know, they make the coffee in my cup, so I don't use a plastic cup, which tastes weird. So it's a small thing that I do, but I think this small thing has a lot of it has a great effect. So there's so many ways that we can do, so many things that we can do to help the ocean. Nobody wants to swim in a plastic soup, and unfortunately that's what's going on now. The ocean is full of microplastics, and it's time to put an end to it.
Yeah, totally agree. Makes sense. Yeah, I think definitely. Yeah, consumer awareness and education is a key aspect of thing that we can do to, let's improve our own, take the matter into our own hand and improve our own situation, right?
Exactly. It shouldn't be so hard. It could be fun.
Okay, so final question. Where can people follow you? Feel free to share any public handles or websites that you have.
Great. So they can find us on LinkedIn under My Ocean Twin or under my name, Reut Zamir, and on our website, myoceantwin.com.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, I'll make sure to put all the links in the show notes here so people can follow along. And once again, thank you for joining the podcast today. Good. It's been great fun. Thank you.
Thank you, Lam. I hope people will understand the potential of Web3. That's a great idea what you're doing. Thank you so much.
Certainly. Thank you. Have a good one. Bye-bye. And we're back to my studio. What do you guys think about this episode with Reut Zamir? I think we need more meaningful projects like My Ocean Twin that can make an impact in the real world by having fun in the Web3 world. For the next episode, we'll be talking to Kinjo, who is running Akindo. It is a platform for hackathons and continuous grants. The company is based in Japan, but they're open for hackers from all over the world. If you enjoyed this episode, please like and subscribe because it would mean a lot to me. Thank you for tuning in and see you next time.